Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
What Really Happened in My House by Edwan Forey. I'm not one to believe in ghosts, and there are a lot of other people who are just as skeptical as I am, but I've had a few occasions that make me wonder. I'll share one of my stories, and I would love to know what you think about it, and if you have any answers. I have a close family member who says that she can see the dead. She describes it as visions, where she would see deceased people roaming around. Believing you have a gift like that kind of freaks me out. I don't know what my mom was thinking, but for some reason, she asked her one day if she saw anything in the house. I really wish she had said nothing, but she answered, though she wasn't clear about what it was. Fast forward about 2 months. My dad wakes up at 5 a.m. every day for work, and at 6 a.m, he wakes us up for school. On this specific morning, it wasn't him that woke us up. Police lights filled the air, followed by loud talking. Walking out of my room and down the hallway, I called for my dad. He answered and told me to come into the living room. I found him standing with 2 police officers who were writing down the things that my dad said. Scared, I asked him what was going on. After the police officers left, he explained to me the most bizarre story. He woke up to find all the lights in the house turned on, as well as the TV in the living room. His first thought was that I had woken up early and done it myself, but when he got to my room, I was asleep. Our entrance to the house is a door with a fence in front of it that needs a special key to be opened. When he got to the living room, the front door was wide open, but the fence was still shut. You cannot open the front door from the outside without unlocking this fence. The weirdest thing of all was that there was a pot of boiling water on our stove. I don't even know how to use that stove, so it couldn't have been me. My dad and mom swear that it wasn't them. There was no sign that anyone had entered the house. All the windows were locked from the inside, and we only had that one door. To this day, we still don't understand the situation, and I'm still freaked out by it.
In 1 second, you're enjoying your first day off in forever. Then, mid-lunch, your phone buzzes. A window's been broken at home, and you're miles away. In 1 second, everything can change. That's why ADT offers security systems with 24/7 monitoring, with tech that helps first responders prioritize your emergency. And with the ADT Plus app, you can stay informed and in control of your home from virtually wherever you are. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com to learn more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Haunted University Campus by Avada Tequila. It was 2017, the night of Independence Day. I was in college drinking with my boyfriend, Michael, and a small group of friends. One of these friends, Miles, is the caretaker of an old hotel-like building located on our university's main campus. No one actually stays in this decrepit building. It only gets shown on tours. It's also thought to be pretty haunted. Probably another reason nobody stays there anymore. However, after the bars closed, the group decided it'd be a good place to finish out our night. Shortly after 2 a.m., the six of us arrived and Miles started to give a brief tour. I set my phone and charger down in the kitchen. Michael and I used the bathroom while everyone else continued upstairs. I decided to pull back the shower curtain for whatever reason, and saw that there was an entire wardrobe left behind. Dirty tennis shoes, male underwear, shorts, and a shirt were stacked in a small pile. If somebody was here, why did they leave all their clothes in the shower? Not thinking much of it, we went upstairs to catch up with the group, but we were still by ourselves at this point. There were three bathrooms, all with their doors open, and none of the lights working. It no doubt felt spooky, seeing these bedrooms look so vacant and unused. It was eerie, but none of these rooms felt too ominous or sinister. We walked into the primary bedroom, which was the last bedroom of the hallway. It was by far the biggest room, and it even had its own large bathroom inside. The light switches in this room worked, both in the bedroom and bathroom. After a few minutes of snooping, we joined everyone else on the roof. About 30 minutes had passed, and our friend Pete called, saying he was here. Michael and I excused ourselves to let him in the same door we both came through. On the way down from the roof, however, we noticed something odd in the corner of this dusty, abandoned attic. From afar, it looked like different smoking pieces, bongs, and pipes. Probably some prankster stoners looking for an exciting place to toke. Upon closer inspection, however, we realized it was actually at least 10 different lawn ornaments and other ceramic pieces placed in a semicircle, all facing a battered children's doll. This little seance was the only thing in the entire attic not covered in dust. It didn't look right. We were a little on edge and continued downstairs. We passed by the bedrooms, noticing that the large main bedroom we were previously just in was now closed, and its door locked. We were both sure we left it open, just as we had found it. Confused and even more on edge, we continued downstairs to let Pete in. After our group rejoined in the attic, we decided to head down to the basement for some drinking games. On our way down, Miles was explaining some of the ghost lore of the residence. He told us how there is one room that always remains closed and locked because there were so many complaints about weird things happening inside. As if I somehow already knew, he brought us to the primary bedroom's door, still closed and locked. Michael and I quickly went into our story of how we were just in there, but Miles thought we were just joking. As caretaker, one of his jobs is to ensure that door remains locked. The rest of the night passed by without anything weird happening. We played flip cup and beer pong down in the basement for a long time. Although creepy looking, the basement was not any more foreboding than any other basement out there. 3 a.m. rolled around and I was ready to leave. Michael is always one to sneak out of a party on the down low. He's weird about goodbyes, and thought if he announced our departure, his friends may try to persuade him to stay. So we quietly made our way upstairs to the main floor. Michael was leading the way. When we got to the top, he turned around and looked straight ahead at the original guest bathroom. He looked horrified, one hand over his mouth in shock, the other pointing directly at the bathroom. His eyes were staring it down, looking through its open door. To this day, I don't know what he was staring at. It was also too dark to make anything out. I clearly thought this was a joke, and it's not out of the ordinary for him to try and spook me, especially since our night at a haunted house was about to end without anything too paranormal happening. I tried talking to him, but he didn't move, didn't reply, and wasn't even blinking. He just stared with his eyes wide, hand over his mouth, shaking. Feeling a bit emboldened, I walked up to the bathroom, turned on the light, and inspected. There wasn't one thing out of the ordinary that I could tell. Even those clothes were still piled on the shower floor. I walked back out and told him that he could stop now. Of course, he didn't. So I stopped talking to him in hopes he'd grow tired of this charade. I began packing my things, making sure I had all my necessities. I realized my phone and charger were in the next room over in the kitchen, so I went over to grab them. I answered a few texts in the kitchen before walking back. Michael hadn't moved an inch when I returned. At this point, I began to worry. Part of me still suspected he'd yell, "Boo!" at any second and laugh. But he had been in this rigid position, staring intently at the bathroom for about 5 minutes straight. I slowly walked up to him and noticed he was crying. Tears silently flowed down his face. I have known this man for over 3 years and can count on one hand the amount of times I had seen him cry. I began to freak out. I yelled his name, but he didn't move. I gently grabbed his face and moved him back. He regained his balance and went right back to his original position, facing the bathroom, covering his mouth, shaking, with a tear-stricken face. I pushed him more aggressively this time and broke his eye contact with the bathroom. Finally, his trance ended. He absent-mindedly wiped his tears and looked at me like I was crazy. He even had the audacity to ask me if I poured beer on his face. We argued for the entire walk back to my apartment because he seriously did not believe my story. He still thinks I'm making all of this up just to scare him. His story of how we left the house was that we walked up the stairs, then he sat down and waited for me to pack my things. Except I know for a fact that he was standing the entire time. There were also no chairs around. He said it only took a few minutes, and that he stood up and supposedly pushed his chair in and followed me out the door. He says when he got up from his chair, that's when he noticed me looking at him like he was insane, and this was his first clue that something was wrong. He even said he remembers a person being in the room with us, watching me pack. He said he couldn't make out who it was, but that he thought it was a friend of ours from downstairs. No one from the party downstairs came up during this time. This part scared me to my core. After a full 24 hours, he still would not admit he played any jokes on me or did any of the things I described. He actually gets pretty upset when I bring it up and does not want to talk about it anymore. How can this be possible? Was this some sort of mild possession? If anyone has any sort of explanation, I would love to hear it. I cannot get the image of his horrified, wide, tearful eyes out of my head.
¶¶
The Night Shift by Random Boy. I worked as an operator and shift manager at an incineration plant for chemical waste. 2 years ago, I changed companies because at my previous job, there was an incident in which my crew and I nearly died. The management pretty much said, "You nearly died, so let's try to avoid it in the future." They didn't come up with any new safety concept. They were assholes. Back to the story, though. I changed my workplace and now operate an incineration plant again, but this one is much smaller. It's pretty cool here, with a good work environment. The plant is part of an industrial complex in a forest, and around the incineration plant, there are only woods, except for one of the production departments, which is our direct neighbor. A few months into the job, some of the coworkers told me that sometimes weird things happen in our department. They said that sometimes you can hear footsteps near you or see a shadowy figure around the corner. Sounds interesting, right? Well, they had a pretty good logical explanation for this. We not only use the incineration plant for chemical waste in the form of liquids like solvents, but we also burn away toxic fumes that our other departments produce. Our direct neighbor has one production line in their basement, and the fumes that this line produces are transported via underground pipes through our basement into the plant to be incinerated. These fumes are not super dangerous, but at high concentrations, they can cause hallucinations. However, the pipes are pretty old, around 50 years, and they have seen better days. Due to the economy in recent years, management decided to pause repair projects, including old, leaking pipes like the ones in our basement. So if the AC is shut off for a longer period inside the basement, these fumes would concentrate, and when you work there, you might experience hallucinations. That said, most of the weird stuff is probably caused by this. But let's get on to my experience. 1 month ago, I had a night shift, and my coworker for the night was sick, so I was alone. 99% of the night shifts, nothing happens, and you just make two inspection tours through the plant to gather some data and check for issues. So I didn't think anything about being alone, even though it was my first time alone at this company. I was actually happy because I planned to watch a movie. During my first inspection tour, nothing unusual happened until I had to get some data from the basement. I went downstairs and I walked to the sensors to collect the data. Suddenly, I heard a creaking sound behind me and footsteps walking down the middle stairs. I turned around but didn't see anything, of course. But I was curious. Why? Well, the stairs are sturdy as hell. One of my coworkers is rather large, and when he walks down those stairs, they don't make the same loud noise that I had just heard. So, whatever made that sound needed to weigh at least 400 pounds. I concluded that this must be hallucinations caused by the fumes, so I decided to continue my tour and turn the AC on for later. During this tour, I also saw a shadowy figure around a corner, but I still thought, nah, it's just the fumes. As I returned to the control room, I turned on the AC in the basement to clear any fumes. 4 hours later, I made my second and final inspection tour. Like before, everything was normal until I reached the basement. I still shake a bit when I remember this. I walked down again. Remember, the AC was on, so there were no fumes. And as I descended, I heard footsteps again, directly behind me. I turned around, but there was nothing to see. I continued to the sensors, but then I heard the footsteps again. This time, not walking, but running. I turned around in a flash, and I saw a shadow just in time as it disappeared around the corner. I was shaken, but I hurriedly collected the data and wanted to go back upstairs and leave the basement alone for the night. As I walked upstairs again, I heard those charging footsteps again. This time, from two different directions, one from behind and one from above. I'd had enough, and I charged up the stairs by myself. As I reached the top of the stairs, I slightly turned around and saw a massive shadow halfway up the stairs. I ran back to the control room and shut the door. Then I remembered. I had the AC turned on. That meant there shouldn't be any fume concentration high enough to cause this kind of hallucination. I was shaking for real this time. I stood up and pondered whether I should check the AC downstairs or wait it out. As I stood by the door to leave the control room, I heard the footsteps behind the door. Quiet footsteps, but definitely footsteps. I made the decision not to be a hero and just wait for the next shift. Later, the next shift arrived, and I told them about my night. They laughed it off and said that the AC was probably acting up again. I laughed and agreed, even though I didn't completely agree with the idea that the AC was broken. The next 2 days, I had the weekend off, so I forgot about it. Then on Monday, I arrived for my early shift and chatted a bit with the guys from the night shift. My quote-unquote experience came up again, and I laughed it off like I had a few days earlier. But my coworkers didn't. I asked them why. Well, as it turns out, the AC was completely fine. But what really made my experience scary was something else. Our neighboring department, which produces these fumes, wasn't even running. Due to a lack of customers this year, they didn't have all the lines active, and during my night shift, they had every production line turned off. That means they couldn't have been producing these fumes, which also means whatever I saw was not a hallucination caused by fumes, but it was something else. Whatever I saw and heard in that basement was real, not hallucinations like many I had experienced before. I experienced something that scared everybody there. My coworkers are now also cautious about the basement, and the manager of the incarceration plant reported this to the higher-ups. They started an investigation 2 weeks ago, but have yet to find any logical cause for the noises or shadows. They haven't found a solution either. They now plan to repair the pipes as soon as possible, and next week, we'll install cameras and sensors to find out what's really happening in that basement.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
In 1 second, you're enjoying your first day off in forever. Then, mid-lunch, your phone buzzes. A window's been broken at home, and you're miles away. In 1 second, everything can change. That's why ADT offers security systems with 24/7 monitoring with tech that helps first responders prioritize your emergency. And with the ADT Plus app, you can stay informed and in control of your home from virtually wherever you are. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com to learn more.
The Apartment Imposter by MTG. My long-distance girlfriend visited me in Austin, Texas over a long weekend in July. It was one of her last visits before I moved to LA to be with her. Nearing the end of her visit, we decided to see the movie The Conjuring, which had just come out. We made it back to my place after going to a late-night showing and eventually went to bed. The next morning, my girlfriend told me that she woke up in the middle of the night feeling uneasy. She rolled over to look at the clock radio I had on my nightstand, and sure enough, it was 3:17 a.m. This was the exact time in the movie that paranormal activity in the house would begin. I thought that it was a strange coincidence, but didn't really give it much thought beyond that. We spent the rest of the day together, went to dinner, and hung out at my place. My girlfriend's flight left the following morning, so we stayed up late to make the most of our time together. However, I couldn't take any more days off of work, so I had to go in that morning. I woke up at 4:15, got ready as quietly as I could, and headed out. At around 6 a.m., I got a call from my girlfriend, which I thought was incredibly weird. Why was she up? And more importantly, why is she calling? "Hello?" "Hey," she said. "So, something happened." She assured me everything was okay, but she was freaked out and didn't want to talk about what happened over the phone. I prodded and insisted she tell me, but she was adamant that she couldn't talk about it and that it would just have to wait until I got home. I was dumbfounded, weirded out, and generally confused and concerned. I couldn't begin to guess what had happened. I hurriedly got through the rest of the morning and left about an hour early to get back to my apartment sooner. I found my girlfriend in the living room, camped out on the couch. "So, what happened?" I asked. She began to relay the story. She said that she was briefly woken up when I was leaving, but settled back to sleep. Sometime later, though, she heard a voice. My voice. It apparently sounded like I was standing over her, coaxing her to wake up. "Hey," the voice whispered. She grumbled and protested, as somebody who is desperately trying to sleep does, and pulled the covers over her face. The voice said something else that she couldn't decipher, but again, she was totally under the impression that this was me. When she didn't respond, the covers were yanked off her face. She opened her eyes and saw no one. She sat straight up in bed and looked around the empty room. That's when she immediately went into the living room, turned on the TV, and called me. Since she was alone in my apartment, she didn't want to talk about it until I was physically with her. When I finally made it back, I listened and played the part of the strong boyfriend. But truth be told, I was freaked out. Not only did I believe her story, but as someone who has been long interested in the paranormal, I was never into the idea of experiencing anything myself, let alone in my own apartment. All I could think about was the fact she had to fly back to LA in a few hours, which would leave me alone in a haunted apartment for the next 6 months. After we said our goodbyes at the airport, I headed back to my place as the sun started to set. I wondered, what awaited me back in that apartment? As it turns out, nothing. I'll admit, I slept with the bathroom light on for a couple of weeks, as I was genuinely creeped out, but nothing strange or scary happened for the rest of the time I lived there. My girlfriend flew back out in February, stayed the night without incident, and we loaded up the moving truck and headed out to LA the next day. There was one thing, though. Way back when I first moved in, I was checking my mailbox. As is often the case, there was some junk mail addressed to the previous tenant. It's hard to explain, but as I held the mail and looked at the tenant's name, I got the strangest feeling of unease. I felt so drawn to the name and continued staring at it for a moment longer. All I can really say is that it felt like something happened to this person. I'm not a sensitive, empath psychic or anything like that, so there was nothing beyond that very general feeling. Was this incident and what happened to my girlfriend connected? I don't know. What do you think?
I used to mock everyone believing in such things by J.S. Cake J. The story I'm about to write happened 4 years ago, and it's somewhat related to God. Anyway, I grew up in a Christian family, although I had never been a big fan of churches, mainly because my neighbors, who go every day, aren't great people and behave in ways I never would. Long story short, when I was in my teens, we used to go to this cheap bar. For obvious reasons, cheap alcohol and the fact that it was the last place to close. The pub is situated in a historic building, and there are demonic-like drawings all over the tops of the walls, right where they meet the ceiling. I never paid much attention to it, as we all gathered in there to get wasted. This bar has three main areas. The first is the ground floor, which is connected to the bar and where regular people hang out. The second area is upstairs where people go to get drunk without being seen. We live in a small town. That's where we used to crash. The third floor area is underground, kind of like a cave, where people played pool and smoked weed. The bar usually closed at 2 a.m., but one day, our friend got so drunk that we couldn't even move him. He was very stubborn, even when he couldn't stand, so they let us stay until about 4 a.m. that day. Hoping that he'd either fall asleep or sober up enough to realize that he needed to go home. All we had to do was help clean the tables and put the chairs on top of them. After doing so, we could keep drinking, but only at the bar, and we couldn't go anywhere else. At around 3:47 a.m., all of the chairs from the anonymous alcohol spot dropped to the floor. Now, I'd never believed in such things, so I ran to the first floor, looking for someone who did it. I realized it was impossible for someone to knock all of them down at once, and nobody was there. Yet, I still don't believe any of it. I thought one of my friends might be playing tricks on me. Although I was initially scared, alcohol gave me courage to withstand it. 1 month later, my friend had a birthday party, and two of my friends and I arrived 3 hours earlier than expected, so we started drinking. Bored and excited about the party, we decided to leave his house and explore the forest behind it. Now, this is where I became numb to everything that followed and didn't approve of any of it. Our friends walked us to a tree where they said a random woman had hanged herself. They started mocking it and making jokes. I eventually got them to stop and got very mad. Anyway, we drank, had fun, and the night ended safely. The next day, it was just me and the same friend, and at around 11 a.m., he told me the second house they built in their backyard was possessed. I was thinking, I don't believe any of this bullshit. Let's go. I'm not afraid. Now, this part is going to sound like the most cliche horror movie, but it really did happen. The keys were hidden somewhere, but he found them, and that gave me goosebumps because it seemed too logical for me. We went inside, and he dropped the keys in a basket. Nothing was happening, so I began screaming, "Hello? Ghosts? Why don't you do something?" We went upstairs, and the vinyl player at the bottom of the house started playing a song. I said, "That's your brother. You think I'm stupid, right?" We turned it off since my friend got scared, which I had never seen happen before. We tried to open the door and leave, but it was locked. That's when we got really scared. I opened a window, and that's how we left the house. Well, later, the keys reappeared in the main house. I couldn't sleep for 2 days because of this, and I was sober. Anyway, the God-related stuff I wanted to post separately because I just realized this is already a long story. Oh, and I forgot to mention, that house we went into looked like something out of the Addams Family, and I had never seen anything like that before. For anyone wondering, the paintings on the walls and the pub can't be removed since it's a historical building, and it's considered part of the town's culture. I'd love to hear a similar story from someone who is also a non-believer.
Doing taxes the old way meant handing everything off and just hoping things were moving. But now, you can feel confident your taxes are being handled right with Intuit TurboTax. Now you match with a TurboTax full-service expert. Just upload your documents right in the app, and boom, they take it from there. Start to finish, you've got a dedicated expert working your return. They check every deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome, so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And now you're not guessing what's happening, you're seeing it happen. TurboTax gives you real-time updates on your expert's progress while you go about your day. Run errands, grab a coffee, live your life. You're always in the loop. And if a question pops up, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Taxes are finally transparent, easier, and handled. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax full-service experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In 1 second, you're enjoying your first day off in forever. Then, mid-lunch, your phone buzzes. A window's been broken at home, and you're miles away. In 1 second, everything can change. That's why ADT offers security systems with 24/7 monitoring, with tech that helps first responders prioritize your emergency. And with the ADT Plus app, you can stay informed and in control of your home from virtually wherever you are. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com to learn more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, we had such a fun time in Salt Lake City. Thanks to everybody who made it out to the live Let's Not Meet show and hung out with me and Brandon.
Maybe once the court takes me off of house arrest, we can take the show worldwide.
There you go with your deadpan jokes that you shouldn't joke about.
Oh, yeah. Like when I said I didn't prepare for my story like 5 minutes before you went on stage.
Yes. Humor my anxiety, please.
I mean, I guess I technically did humor it in a way when I froze up about 2 sentences into my segment. I did my best, though. Nothing prepares you for reading in front of an audience other than actually reading in front of an audience.
Oh, I totally get it. Yeah, literally. I don't think it ever fully goes away, too. People just get better at hiding it. I'm always a nervous wreck.
Well, you could have fooled me, knocked it out of the park.
Thanks.
So, in the apartment imposter emailed to us by MTG,
yeah,
I couldn't help but get a little annoyed by the girlfriend calling out of the blue and being like, hey, everything is totally fine, but something kind of serious happened. I'm not going to tell you about it until you get home in a few hours, though. Have a good day at work. Don't do that.
Dude, I know. My old boss would send me emails like that and say nothing but call me, and I'd just be freaking out trying to get every single duck in a row as soon as possible before calling him back.
Mm-hmm.
It would basically just end up being something like an extra shipment of receipt papers coming in and I need you to sign for it. Whereas in my head, it's you're going to be fired unless you fix this thing or something.
Yeah. I swear, some of these people who say vague things like that without any reassurance to the other person that nobody hates them and nobody died, they know exactly what they're doing. It's such a power play. I hate it. But I'll give the girlfriend some credit. She did at least say everything was okay.
Yeah, I know. I like to talk about a lot of my pet peeves on the show, but my ultimate biggest pet peeve is either when something is wrong and the person isn't telling me about it, or they send me a text that says something like, just giving you a heads up, or, you know, hey, everything is totally fine, but something serious happened.
Yeah.
I just always expect like the absolute worst in those situations. And I think most people do. It's just human.
Yeah, it's always so much easier said than done. As if preparing for the worst makes it any easier to handle. Doesn't do us any good, but we can't help but doing it anyway. But what if she thinks it's not something urgent, but it actually is? Completely underestimates the urgency of the situation.
Yeah, exactly. If you're calling for a reason, just say what it is. But I also understand not wanting to speak about what happened, you know, willing it back into existence or something.
Yeah, for sure. That plus, like I said, she did say everything was okay, makes it a bit less aggravating, but it definitely made me think of those boss emails that you related it to. Or if somebody asks what your weekend plans are, oh man, with some people you have to map out a whole itinerary because they'll assume if you're planning to curl up in a blanket by yourself for a couple of days, you're actually wanting to go out and do something else with other people. In fact, you might even be yearning for it, so they come to your rescue and pull you out of your non-plans.
Oh, I feel that. Yeah, I've gotten more introverted as I've gotten older. I used to love being in the middle of whatever was happening, but now I basically just rejoice when someone cancels plans with me. It feels so good. You know, I get to stay at home with my wife and dogs. It's funny how we've basically swapped.
I know. That is interesting. I think it might be because I spent so much of my 20s caring what other people think, getting caught up and being self-conscious, afraid to put myself out there, blah, blah, blah. But moving forward with my best foot, I'm still like 90% introverted, but I've been making that other 10% count a lot more as I've gotten older.
Are you spending that 90% curled up in a blanket by yourself?
Caught me.
Yeah, I figured. It's funny. I actually spent most of my 20s not caring about what people thought of me, and I ended up making a lot of enemies that way. But it turned out to be a good thing because I weeded them out, and the friends that stuck around after I mellowed out are like the realest people I've ever met. I can say and do anything in front of them and just feel comfortable, and You know, they're just good people. So that's a plus. Life is just too weird to do it once. I totally get why we choose to come back.
Yeah, no, I absolutely get that. As the saying goes, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Yeah.
But I mean, reincarnation, that makes a lot of sense in that way.
Yeah. You just want to come back and try it again and be an extrovert one time.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But
we were actually talking about that while I was there.
That's right, yeah.
But anyways, getting back to the stories, I found an update on the night shift story.
Oh, cool. Fill us in.
Okay, so buckle up. The author writes that a coworker told him around 15 years ago that he was alone on a late shift at that job, and at around 6 p.m., he wanted to clean the interior of one of the steam boilers with the cleaning system. So they have a camera to see if the cleaning process is working okay, and they can control the whole process from within this control room, which is separated. But the camera helps with keeping everything in check. When he started the process, he also turned on the camera and quickly looked if, you know, to see if the system worked. And then he adjusted some other things in the incineration plant. And then around 15 minutes into the cleaning process, he goes back to clean the next shaft of the steam boiler. And when he started, he looked at the live stream of the camera again and noticed a shadow behind one of the cleaning systems that shouldn't have been there, just like the story. Apparently, he's been at the plant for like 40 years, and he's very sure that something weird is happening there. He said that when the cleaning system activated, the weird shadow moved out of view of the camera and it didn't return.
There'd be no way the fumes would have affected him and caused hallucinations, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Just like in the author's story. He said he tried to produce this weird shadow figure dozens of times with other coworkers, but it's just not possible. He says that the complex is over 150 years old and it has a lot of history. He writes that up until 1945, the company produced mostly weapons and ammunition. Then, after Germany was defeated, We started to invest more into pharmaceuticals, and they still continued ammunition at that location until the early 2000s, along with pharmaceuticals, but safety wasn't exactly something that was taken seriously.
Pharmaceuticals and military-grade weapons, you can't go wrong there. That's quite the investment.
Yeah, plus unsafe work environments in a building over 150 years old. No biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm following this story pretty closely, so if anything comes up, I'll keep you guys updated.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Yeah, good stuff in the future of Odd Trails. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening. Make sure you sign up for our Patreon if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes. It's the best listening experience. You can do that at patreon.com/oddtrails. And make sure you send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear them on the show. Remember, we can't tell your story if you don't send it in. And finally, check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. Everybody have a safe Halloween.
Peace out.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler Cast Iron Ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.